Hello, and welcome to SearchCRM.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And today, I have on tap some questions about some of the big trends that we might await in CRM for 2015. And I have with me Danny Estrada, who's been in the field of CRM for more than 20 years, and he's a thought leader and also a practitioner who works on the ground with real customers just about every day. So I'm very pleased to introduce him on Search CRM, and today we're going to talk a little bit about his thoughts and predictions for 2015. So welcome, Danny.
All right. Well, thank you, Lauren. I appreciate the invite. I've been a longtime follower of Search CRM, one of the original people that was spreading the goodwill and the information about the CRM marketplace, even when most people didn't know what it was. So you guys have been around an awfully long time, and it's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and now I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit, and we won't hold you to all of this, but we want to talk a little bit about some of what you think the big trends and themes are for next year. So when you and I started talking about this, you mentioned that there's kind of a big three, a triumvirate of themes that you see as important for 2015. So let's start with number one for you. What do you see as the first one?
Well, I think the biggest trend that we see on the horizon is that pretty much organizations, large and small, have been seeing a lot of information about big data and what data means to an organization. And you know, we often tell customers that if your data is not talking to you, then you need to figure out the right solution so that you can become aware of information and what you need to do with it at the right place and the right time. And so that's actually the momentum there is actually growing pretty heavy steam. You know, when you look at players, you know, some of the big leaders in the market, whether it's SAP with what they're doing on the analytics side, or whether it's Salesforce with the new Wave Analytics that was a big hit at Dreamforce, and Microsoft, of course, advancing everything they're doing with Power BI. And now, you know, if you've seen what Infor is doing, you know, they're layering the business analytics piece across all of their cloud solutions. So There's quite a bit of activity in that particular area. So that's really the first place that we start.
Okay.
Now, if you want, we can dig in a little bit into, you know, what does that actually mean?
Yeah, I think for our listeners that would be great, because big data and analytics and all these terms are thrown around with great frequency, but they often mean different things in the practice of them.
So if we kind of roll back to traditional reporting, you know, what the average customer has done for the last 15 or 20 years is that these different systems in IT, whether they're integrated or whether they're siloed, people have started to gather large amounts of data. In fact, you know, just from, you know, a session I was at this week, you know, it was actually revealed that 90% of the data that exists out there was created within the last 2 years. So when you have more data than you know what to do with, again, the traditional mentality was, let's go out there, let's create reports, let's, you know, spend time going through the information and then finding things that we need in order to do what? In order to make business decisions, in order to make actionable things happen that make a difference to the bottom line. But in analytics, you have a much different scenario. Different scenario because of a couple of things that have happened. You know, as technology has evolved very, very quickly, you know, and when you think about just what you're able to do on your mobile device, it's really just a supercomputer in your hand now. And you think about, you know, how people maneuver and how few people are actually tethered to a desk all day long. Then you start to see, well, you know, if I have all this information, you know, how does it need to be presented to me in order for me to make the best use out of my day? And so what analytics does several things. So now that CRM is kind of a mainstay platform, it's not a nice to have anymore in the marketplace, what you have with analytics is you have data discovery. You have the ability to slice and dice. You have the ability to analyze on the fly. So you have the ability to discover some things that maybe that you didn't know. And when you layer in other things like workflow and notifications and all these different events and triggers and things that happen within, you know, a particular marketplace as people start to monitor, you know, key indicators and other things like that, it's making people much more effective in the field. So it doesn't really matter from a CRM perspective whether you work in a service organization or whether you're part of a sales organization, you know, and quite honestly, you know, even if you're part of just everyday operations within a company, and this goes across, you know, the $5 million company, and this goes across the Fortune 500. And so that's really why the analytics side of what's happening with all the data that we have becomes so important, because there's just way too much data for any individual or any team to effectively go through or to really understand what type of reporting you need and deliver and generate those reports. All of that's too slow. You need to be able to work with the data and manipulate it in a way that you see fit so that you can use the gray matter in your head in order to make your business more profitable.
And you talked a little bit about, you know, this steady influx of data being very overwhelming, and also the difference a little bit between reporting and analytics. Do you see next year as a big year in terms of making data more digestible for business side folks so that they can make actionable decisions on the fly?
So data will definitely be more actionable because, you know, up to this point, up until a few years ago, when you think about some of the biggest challenges in CRM, you know, a few years back, everybody was talking integration. And what was that? Well, that was transactional data, what's happened in the past. So as you start to move forward and as you start to understand, you know, what some of the bigger trends are, you know, just from a closed loop in the CRM world, marketing has been pulled in much, much tighter. So now that somebody has a digital footprint, as we call it in our world, in the world of marketing automation, has so many different data points at the very front end before somebody's even a customer, or even if you're trying to cross-sell after they're a customer. But essentially, there's a lot more data that's involved there. And then you take that through and pair that with the transactional data that we already have, and then you start to look at, okay, what do I need to do here, right? That's the essential. So you have many more data sources, but then at the end of the day, so, you know, is this lead scoring? Is this, I mean, there's so many different ways that you can apply what you have from an analytical perspective to being able to make things kind of your list of to-dos or things that will make people execute most in their particular job description. And so while you have a much higher volume of data coming in across all of these sources, it just has to be pared down and has to be consumable. So, you know, when you think about the social channels, right? So, again, from a marketing perspective, you think, or a service perspective, and you think of how companies are engaging with people across social channels. And then you have these collaboration engines, you know, whether it's Yammer or whether it's Mingle or whether it's Chatter or, you know, any of these technologies have layered in these collaboration pieces into their particular technologies. But again, you know, what are people discussing in context? You know, people are discussing data, trends. They're discussing things that they see. So being able to layer in those analytics and actually elevate, you know, those biggest issues that arise in your business, and then being able to work with those across collaborative or social channels and things like that, really make people very, very singular in their focus. And as we all know, that when people in their particular job function are focused and undistracted, they tend to perform much better. And as every individual in a company performs better, the organization as a whole does well.
Okay, so now let's talk about theme number two? What do you see the second theme as?
So the second theme that we're seeing is that customer engagement is very, very important for how a business is going to shrink or how they're going to grow. And as we all know, that there's no zero-sum game in the way that, you know, you start the year and you end the year, you'll actually end up in a much better place or you'll end up with some challenges. So when you factor in the mentality of today's customer and the instant gratification society and the fact that people don't separate their mobile or their business or their personal devices, everybody carries one device now. And you think about how people engage with customers and how customers transact, customer engagement and how you interact with those customers across the various different channels is, if not the most important, you know, again, one of those top two or three things that a company needs to be concerned about as far as how they get to that next level. You know, you're either growing or you're shrinking, and, you know, most businesses don't want to shrink. But it's a very, customers are very transitory these days. And if you're not paying attention to, all of the different facets of the information that you need to have, the information your customers expect to have, and how they expect to be treated when you engage with them, you know, regardless of how they engage, right? Phone, face, internet, doesn't matter. But if you don't have a handle on how all of those interactions take place, then CRM and many other things kind of take a back seat, because doesn't matter how good your data is or how good your software technology is, if you're not treating customers the way they expect to be treated, there's going to be challenges.
So people have often talked about customer service as kind of being the company differentiator, but it sounds like you're saying it's really customer engagement that's the differentiator.
Yeah, so let's use a particular scenario. When you think about customer engagement, you know, a while back I wrote a blog article that is, you know, CRM is your promise keeper. And what people need to understand is, whether it's things that you represent from your electronic media, whether it's your website or the emails that you send out, and you know, when things transition over to from marketing over into sales, and now you start to have a lot of one-to-one interactions, service and customer satisfaction is only an output of the customer referencing what you said you were going to do versus what you actually do and how you do it. And what I mean by that is, when we start going out there and we start telling people about what our companies are focused on or what our specialties are or all the things that we can do for someone, we can talk till we're blue in the face. But as soon as we start making those representations, essentially we've started to provide the customer with that baseline of what their satisfaction is actually going to be when the service side gets a hold of them. Because whether you're delivering products that do or don't do what you've represented they'll do, or more importantly, as we're a heavy, heavy services economy, if the customer's experience, which is the place that we'll probably need to get into next, if the customer's experience doesn't fall in line with all of those promises, then you're going to have severe challenges regardless of, you know, how good you are at executing. Does the end result line up with the expectation? And that all leads to how you engage with customers.
Gotcha. So you started to allude to, I think, number three. So let's talk about what you think the top third theme is.
So the top third theme is, you know, why am I doing all this, right? So we've talked about, you know, I have a plan. I need to go out there and run my business, and I want to get to some endpoint. But in order to do that, I need customers, right? So it's the buying customer. And their experience, or customer experience, a lot of people call it CX, you know, the customer experience that somebody goes through is one of those things that's, you know, long been talked about. It's been a little bit more ethereal than what we're seeing now. But because in the past, we didn't have CRM technology, so essentially we didn't have the plumbing that was in place in all these different areas. You know, 20 years ago, we didn't have to worry about the internet. We didn't have to worry about the web and what somebody's customer experience was like. And now, because, as I mentioned before, we were talking about a society, when you think about how do you individually transact when you buy products and services and what your expectation is. Everybody knows that people have the data about them, and how and where that information gets presented contextually is going to play heavily into what I think of a company that I'm buying any product or service from. So if I do something on the web and then I interact with somebody on the phone, then I'm assuming that that person on the phone has any of the information about me that happened while I was on the web. And if those things don't start to line up, then as from a customer experience point of view, I start to question my loyalty. And what do we all know? You know, it's a lot easier to get a dollar from an existing customer than it is to grab a new one. But customers are much, much less patient these days. And again, it's that instant gratification society. So customer experience, outlining all the different ways that a customer will touch my organization, and not just the people, but also the systems that they touch, and what they perceive as their needs and how those needs are satisfied, goes a long, long way to quickly adding to the bottom line of the business.
So kind of just to wrap it up, it sounds like part of what you're saying is it's incredibly important for companies to use data intelligently and really use it to kind of better tailor engagement and customer service to hold on to existing customers and kind of provide them what they're looking for. Is that right?
Sure. That's a great way to put it. What we're really getting asked for from a practitioner point of view is, now companies are saying, you know, we have this strategic plan. We want to do A, B, or C, X, Y, or Z in the coming year. And in order to do that, what is the information that is needed along the path as our people work with these customers? What information needs to be readily available to the customers without human interaction? And what's the context of the information or the data? Don't just dump large amounts of data at me, because that's only going to slow things down, not speed things up. And, you know, as a lot of people are saying now, there's a new catchphrase that's becoming pretty handy that I've heard in the last couple of months, which is speed is the new currency in business. And that's really essentially what we see at the end of the day. It's having the right information at the right time in order to make actionable decisions, whether you're the customer making a buying decision or whether you're, you know, somebody trying to influence those decisions. It's really having that information the way you need to have it in order to be more successful.
Right. Well, Danny, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your thoughts on what we should be looking for in 2015. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I look forward to us doing this again sometime soon on another topic. So, and for more on CRM, check out searchcrm.com. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.